Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters, where we spotlight key health issues and community concerns across the Upper Cumberland. Mental health is a vital part of overall wellness, yet it often doesn't get the same attention as physical health. In today's interview, we want to raise awareness about mental health, reduce stigma, and connect people to resources and support. Joining us today is Kayla Jackson with Mental Health Cooperative. She's here to share her insights, talk about the services available in our community, and help us better understand how we can all support mental wellness.
Kayla, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start out by telling the listeners a little bit about your background. Kind of tell us where you came from and then what your role is.
Okay. So I was born and raised in Cookeville. I have never lived anywhere else. I graduated high school from Cookeville High School. I graduated with my bachelor's degree in sociology with a focus in criminology from Tennessee Tech.
Wings up.
Wings up.
Yeah. And then I went on to the University of Tennessee and I know.
No.
That's her favorite.
That's your favorite. Okay.
Big orange.
All right, good. Well, I got my master's
her
degree
favorite.
In social work with them.
Yes. So what did you get from UT Knoxville?
My master's degree in social work.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah, and then I started with Mental Health Cooperative actually as soon as I finished with my bachelor's degree in 2014. As a care manager, I was going into the community, going into the home and stuff back then, and just moved up the ranks within that office to where I am today as the facility administrator.
Okay, very good. 2014.
Yes.
So you've been there 11 years now.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So what led you to pursue a career in mental health? I mean, I'm here in sociology. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, growing up, I think we all have those experiences, whether it's our own mental health, someone in our family, a friend at school. You know, I just had a lot of experience with different people who struggled with things and they didn't always have somebody to go to or somebody to speak to. And so I decided that I wanted to be that person for kids and for adults who were struggling, because it makes such a huge impact in somebody's life. If they have somebody they can depend on, somebody that they can talk to, it can really change their outcome.
Absolutely. It usually does come from your personal background, what path you pursue in life that finds you satisfaction. Right?
Yes.
That seems to be the common thing I hear. So at Mental Health Cooperative, tell us a bit about that, because that sounds like a big umbrella when you say cooperative.
Yes.
That can mean a lot of things. So what kind of services do you guys have?
So in our Cookeville location, we have medication management, therapy, and care management. So we also have intensive care management. In our Nashville location, which is our hub, you know, that's where Mental Health Cooperative started. And then it branched out to satellite offices. We also have MAT services up there. So that's for substance abuse. We have a crisis stabilization unit, not only for adults, but also for children, which is not common.
No, I didn't know that you guys had that. Okay.
It's new. It's opening soon.
Okay. Here in Cookeville or in Nashville?
In Nashville.
In Nashville.
So our Nashville
All right.
location.
Your hub. Okay.
Yes. But anyone in the state of Tennessee can access that. So here in Cookeville, you know, we've got just kind of those basic services. But the good thing about this company is that as we see a need and we can kind of show the data saying, hey, we need this here too, and we can support this, we get to try out new things.
Okay. So is it a nonprofit? Is it a for-profit? Is it owned, you know, corporate-owned from Nashville?
We are a nonprofit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. I think that's good for the listeners to understand that, too, that where you guys are coming from.
Yes.
So in our community, I know you talked about the Nashville hub. How do people get in touch with you guys at the Mental Health Cooperative?
So we have an intake or an enrollment call center that everybody can access. You just call. It's 615-743-1555, and you can call that number Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, and somebody will be there to answer your call. And if they're free at that time, they'll go ahead and they'll complete your enrollment assessment at that time. Sometimes they may have to schedule it for the next day, but it's a pretty quick turnaround time. We also have a website. It's mentalhealthcooperative-mhc-tn.org. But of course, you can Google Mental Health Cooperative and it'll pull up our location. Mm-hmm. And on there, there is an area for referrals, but you don't have to be referred by another provider. You can just seek services out yourself.
Wow. Okay. Because that's unusual. Typically, you have to have a referral a lot of times from a provider in the area. Okay. So people can just call that number. Say that number again.
It's 615-743-1555.
Okay. And it sounds like there's a caseworker or case manager.
There is an enrollment specialist.
Enrollment specialist. Mm-hmm. I like it. Okay. And that's all they do.
Yes.
Nice. So then people can get that kind of support.
Mm-hmm.
What do you most enjoy about doing this kind of work?
Getting to walk alongside our clients that we serve and seeing them meet their goals, seeing them progress, seeing them overcome these challenges or these barriers that they're facing every day.
So leading into that, when I think of barriers, what kind of barriers do you guys see the most in helping patients overcome those to get access?
Mm-hmm. Well, access to care, of course, is a huge barrier around here.
Yeah.
So that is something that we face every day in our, you know, people in this area face every day. But there are so many providers in this area that, you know, you should be able to find a provider, even if it's not Mental Health Cooperative, you know, anybody.
Right.
Of course, some of the barriers are stigma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just so much stigma out there. If you talk about having a mental health diagnosis, people, you know, quote unquote, think you're crazy.
Right, right.
And, you know, that's just not the case. We all struggle with things.
We do. And I think the tide has turned a bit than it had probably when you started, you know, 11 years ago in this environment with mental health. I think it's more acceptable now. The part that I know that patients have the most difficulty with is just finding where to go. Mm-hmm. Where do they fit? You know, I like this provider or I don't. Or transportation.
Yes.
Because, you know, we have some public transportation with the Upper Cumberland Development District does some, and then they have the buses. But really, for people to get to your office from the 14 counties, I'm thinking, you know, in central Appalachia.
Yeah.
That would be, I mean, how transportation to get to where you're at. Do you guys do telehealth services then?
We do some. So for our med management, that's all face-to-face.
Okay.
So you would have to come into the office because you meet with a nurse. You know, they need to take blood pressure,
All
that stuff to make sure that you're safe on the medication.
Okay.
But we do telehealth for therapy. That is something we are able to offer. And the care managers come to you.
Oh.
So if you have a care manager and you're struggling with getting a food box or depression or anxiety that day, they can come to your house.
Okay.
If you're a child, they can come to your school. They can go to school meetings, IEP meetings.
Nice.
They can meet you in the community at your job. Hmm. You don't have to come to the care managers. Some people seek our services just to have a care manager.
Okay. Well, that is a barrier that I would have thought that would have been there, and you guys have overcome that.
Mm-hmm. And our care managers, if their schedule allows, can actually transport.
Really?
Yes. So we do have some clients that we transport on a regular basis because they just can't get in for their med management appointment. And so their care manager goes out to their home, picks them up, brings them into their appointment, takes them back home afterwards. Now, is that something they can do for every single person?
No,
of course
not.
But as their schedule allows,
right,
it is something that we try to do.
But to me, that's one of the bigger barriers.
Yes.
I see, is transportation, at least at the clinic I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
People just being able to get to and from appointments and then getting to referrals and getting to the pharmacy and getting to.
Yes.
That's wonderful that you guys do that. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month, but we're focusing on this right now. And, you know, what key issues do we need to be focused on to raise awareness? I know you said stigma for mental health illness, and then we've just talked about barriers. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else, you know, that could help us raise awareness?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a crucial time for us to educate the public and destigmatize mental health conditions, promote early intervention, and foster a supportive community for individuals and families affected by mental illness. Some key issues that it addresses include the prevalence of mental health illness, the importance of seeking and providing support and resources, the need for open conversations about trauma.
Open conversations. Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Yeah. That's one of the big things.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to keep it tied up inside themselves because they think that nobody else knows what I'm going through.
Yeah.
That's just not the case.
Yep. I can relate to that. So I work with the veterans through a Valor Healthcare, which we do down here at. And so, absolutely, opening up about struggles, especially PTSD, with our military veterans, is a huge. And that's just talking about it and asking about it.
Yes.
So I agree that that's a big barrier that, you know, a lot of people just don't want to talk about it.
It's my business. I'm gonna
it's
keep
my
it to
business. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very good. I think, you know, along that line, too, as far as barriers that you guys have overcome, tell me more about this. I mean, we have a little about a minute left, but tell me more about the how children and young adults could get referred to the inpatient.
Okay.
Or is that too much for the last minute here?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
So for our Nashville facility, which is where they would go to get the crisis stabilization, they would, they can talk to their care manager. Now in Putnam County and the counties that we cover here in Cookeville, Volunteer Behavioral Health actually has the crisis contract.
Okay. Yeah.
So we divert to them typically, but that doesn't mean that they can't call our Nashville crisis line because Mental Health Cooperative holds the contract for Metro.
Yes.
And so they can call that line. They can drive out there to the CSU and just show up and they go through an intake process.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Yeah.
We're joined today by Kayla Jackson from Mental Health Cooperative on Local Matters, Health Matters. And we're talking about mental health awareness. So what are some of the most common mental health challenges that you see in the Upper Cumberland, Kayla?
We see high rates of suicide, depression, anxiety, and substance use disorders here. And actually, September is Suicide Prevention Month.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Yes.
Yes, it is. So for someone who may be struggling, what are some of the early signs or symptoms to look out for in themselves, or maybe it's in one of their loved ones?
So looking for signs like persistent sadness or irritability, withdrawing from friends and activities. So maybe you've got a child who has usually been very involved in school, and all of a sudden they're like, I don't want to play football anymore. I don't want to be a cheerleader anymore. And there isn't really necessarily like an issue that happened or something that you can pinpoint back to. Significant changes in sleep or appetite, low energy, difficulty concentrating. And you can also pay attention to physical symptoms like headaches or unexplained aches, as can compulsive disorders, like increased substance use or constant social media scrolling. These changes are often accompanied by expressions of hopelessness or worthlessness and statements like, I can't deal with life right now. Those can all be signs of, you know, it might be time to seek help for this person or for myself.
How do you think that timely access to services makes a difference in the outcomes for patients and their families?
It helps prevent minor issues from becoming severe. It can improve social and emotional development and reduce the risk of secondary complications like substance abuse and self-harm. For families, early intervention lessens stress, helps them understand and cope with their loved one's condition, and improves the overall well-being of the family unit.
And it sounds like with Mental Health Cooperative, maybe that day or the next day, they could get resources that they might need.
Yeah. Once they complete their intake, then they're sent to a care manager who just kind of gives them a little introduction and introduction into services. And then their assigned care manager calls them within the next 24 to 48 hours. If they're going to do meds with us, their psych eval is going to be scheduled, and they're going to be scheduled for a therapy appointment. All within like those first 24 to 48 hours.
Good, yeah. Timely access to healthcare has been a big issue, I feel like, with mental health over the years.
Yes.
So that's awesome that they can get treatment and help that quick. Yeah.
Well, you know, people, they don't come into services because they were doing bad a month ago.
Right.
They're seeking services because they're doing bad today. And so if we say, well, I can get you in for an intake next week, that person may not make it to next week.
Yeah.
You know, or they may be in the hospital by next week. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen in that time frame. So we try to get things going as quickly as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And then once you get people into that system at the Mental Health Cooperative and you have somebody that's following that person, do you have assistance for caregivers, or is it just for, I know you mentioned the family mm-hmm. unit mm-hmm. and being, you know, aware within the unit of what's going on with the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Is there services that you guys can recommend or, you know, with yeah. caregiving? Because yeah. I think of the parents of these children mm-hmm. With the IEPs or with some behavioral issues.
Yes. So we always encourage our parents to come into services with us if they also are struggling with something, even if it's just the mental load of yeah. their child's diagnosis. We accept all forms of TIN care, and then we also have that the safety net grant that helps people who have no insurance. And so if the parent falls under that umbrella, we encourage them to come in, or we may say, hey, you know, this place accepts your insurance. You should really seek them out. But I can't tell you how many parents, they call their care manager and they talk to them about their day-to-day things. They may not be
the
care manager.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're still willing to
yeah.
communicate and That's encourage good. Them That's to good. Connect to resources.
Because that can be a real issue
mm-hmm.
In the community as well.
Yes.
Because being a caretaker for somebody with behavioral mental health issues, both or both.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. So we talked about stigma.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about people seeking help, how to do that. And then what do you think about, you know, if someone is embarrassed or afraid to reach out? Do you have any wise words for them?
Yeah. So it's important to validate people's feelings.
Mm.
Like, I understand why you're embarrassed or you're scared. You know, you think we have people who think that this is going to go on my permanent record.
Right.
You know, everybody's right. going to know I did this. You know, that's not the way it works. So you just have to put your foot out there, make that phone call, give it a shot, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised
yeah.
with the stigma that you're not going to get put under whenever you walk through Mental Health Cooperative.
And that you're not alone.
You're not alone.
You know, I totally understand about the validation.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking about it sometimes with people is the first step.
Yeah.
And it does help.
And, I mean, just kind of reframing that whole seeking help is it's strength. It's not weakness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something to be embarrassed about because you can't do this by yourself. You can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's not about that. It's actually a sign of strength by saying, you know, hey, I can't do this alone.
Right.
I need some help.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So my favorite part of our interviews are to kind of do some myth busting.
Okay.
Comments that we hear patients say, comments that we'll see on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of ask you, being the expert, and hear what your take is on mm-hmm. these. If you don't care, we'll dive into some of these.
Sure.
Okay. Only people, this is the first thing I hear, only people with severe illness need professional help.
Okay. Yeah, definitely not true.
No.
Because, okay. I mean, just think about it. You know, if you're anxious over going to the dentist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you handle that on your own? How many people don't go to the dentist because they're afraid?
A lot, yeah. I would think.
Because there's anxiety right. around
yes.
it.
Yes. And, you know, the listeners couldn't see, but severe, you know, is in air quotes, you know, what
yes.
defines severe. And so I think a lot of times patients don't understand
mm-hmm.
That. Everyone can benefit
yes.
from
if it's impacting your life, it's severe.
Yes. Yeah. Even stress management, coping
mm-hmm.
skills, because you guys have therapy.
Yes.
And that's absolutely that can interventions at an early stage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Next one. Therapy is too expensive.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
That's too expensive. I don't have the money.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that most insurances pay for most or all of therapy. So like for us, for example, we accept TIN care. It's going to pay for it 100%.
Yeah.
The safety net grant that we have, if you don't have insurance, it's going to pay for it 100%. And then, of course, there are private insurances that people have that we don't necessarily take, but we can get you connected with someplace who might be able to, you know, you might be able to afford.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Next one. Medications changed my personality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's also in air quotes for the listeners, you know, change my personality.
Yeah. You know, there are one thing, side effects, of course, to medications.
Right.
And if you experience something like that and it's like a negative change to your personality, you need to go back to that doctor. So many people will experience that and they'll just like, I'm just never going to take this
right.
again. There's so many other meds out there.
Good to know. Yes.
But then, you know, maybe you need therapy instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. It's not always medications that helps you deal with those mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say that's a myth.
Yes, it is.
And if you have side effects, you need to talk to your provider,
mm-hmm.
or your case manager.
Yeah.
Or your therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. You have to be on medications forever, Kayla. Ever.
No, not necessarily true. Of course, there are some situations where somebody might benefit from that. But there are definitely situations where something is more situational. And, you know, as you can kind of work with your care manager and your therapist and your provider, and you work through that stuff, you learn those coping skills, you can come off those medications because you know how to manage it now.
Yes. We're going to do some more myths on the next segment, Kayla. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. We're continuing our conversation with Kayla Jackson from Mental Health Cooperative about mental health awareness and the importance of supporting one another as a community. How does mental health impact physical health, and why it's important to see them as connected? But first, we're going to get through a couple more myths, and then we're going to talk about how, if that's all right with you, Kayla,
yes.
about how physically mental health can affect you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So the next myth is, once somebody improves, they no longer need support.
Mm. Yeah, definitely a myth. So we actually see this frequently where we will have somebody who wants to discharge from services because they've met all their goals.
Yeah.
And 3 or 4 months later, they're coming back. And it's not because they weren't doing better at that time.
Right.
But it's because, you know, things resurface. If you have only been getting help for, you know, your symptoms for a few months, they're going to get better.
Yeah.
But you have to continue that treatment for a little bit for you to have sustained.
Yeah, and it's very structured therapy.
Yes.
I mean, people think that it's not, that, like you said, it's just, we're just talking, or just, but it really is a structured, evidence-based therapy that people need to realize it's therapy for you, just like your medicine. So, no, very good to bust that myth that once it improves, you no longer need support.
Right.
Last one that we'll briefly talk about is alternative remedies. You know, it's big on TikTok, big on Instagram, you know, herbs, certain supplements, maybe yoga, Tai Chi. Those things can replace therapy and medication. What do you think about that?
Definitely a myth. Those things are more like coping skills.
Yeah.
To help, to go along with the things that you're already doing.
Okay.
Because whenever you're in therapy, you're learning those skills, and some of those skills may be, like, I'm going to start taking yoga.
Right.
You know, but sometimes people don't think about those things.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm very stressed, I could try yoga. It's just not common knowledge for some people.
Right. And yet not in the Western medicine,
yes.
that's for sure. But it does not replace. Mm-mm. If somebody's on a medication. But what I hear you saying is it can complement.
Yes, it can complement. Yes. There are so many diagnoses out there that a supplement's just not going to touch.
Right.
Because they are, you know, like chemical imbalances in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the medication that you're prescribed is made specifically for that chemical imbalance to help regulate it and help your body function at a, you know, a baseline level.
Yeah, yeah.
And the supplements aren't going to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And then there's some stuff out there that can actually interfere.
Yes.
Isn't that right? Like,
correct.
There's some herbal, I mean, people think over-the-counter medicines are not harmful.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you talk to a professional about everything you're taking, it could be harmful.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Very good. Thank you for clearing those things up. Because I do think the listeners, they're afraid to ask those kind of questions, or they have those biases, and hopefully we have changed some minds. So now we're going to talk about, how does it impact physical health? So, you know, we're talking about mental health, brain chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about coping skills. Well, how does that affect the whole body, Kayla?
Mental and physical health are deeply connected.
Mm.
So mental health issues like chronic stress, anxiety, and depression can lead to physical symptoms, such as chronic pain, digestive problems, and an increased risk for heart disease and diabetes. And then conversely, poor physical health, such as such as that from chronic illness can increase the risk of mental health conditions.
Yeah.
So it's important to see them as connected, because neglecting one negatively impacts the other. And a holistic approach focusing on both mind and body is crucial for your overall well-being. And at Mental Health Cooperative, that is one thing that we do very well. We focus on a lot of gaps in care that TIN Care sends us. Like, this person hasn't had their well child visit. They haven't been in to see their doctor in a year. And so that becomes part of the care manager's job to help you get connected. And then each office, especially the COVID office, has a primary health coordinator. And that person reaches out to the clients and says, hey, how can I help you get your mammogram done? Mm-hmm. How can I help you get a screening for a diabetic retinopathy?
Nice. True care coordination.
Yes.
So not just mental health.
Not just mental health.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, that's important. So what role do factors like stress, and we've talked a little bit about stress, relationships, or just lifestyle itself play in the overall mental well-being for people?
They are critical determinants of mental well-being. With positive social connections and healthy lifestyles, fostering resilience and reducing the risk of mental health issues. While stress, loneliness, and unhealthy habits can significantly increase anxiety, depression, and overall psychological distress, the quality and persistence of our stressors and the strength of our social support and the presence of healthy behaviors like balanced nutrition, physical activity, sufficient sleep, they all interact together to influence your mental health outcomes.
So it all affects us.
Yes.
Mental and physical.
Yes.
Let's change topics here just a little bit, because we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I want to make sure that we give some good practical advice for the community. Mm-hmm. So parents that are listening, what should they keep in mind when it comes to supporting their children's mental health?
Fostering open communication and a strong, loving relationship. So you do that by actively listening to their feelings without judgment. Make sure that you're validating their emotions. Practice active listening. Ask open-ended questions. So don't ask your children just yes or no questions. Give them a chance to speak to you. Be okay to live in that silence if you ask them a question and they just sit there for a moment. Promote a healthy lifestyle. So show your children what a healthy lifestyle is. Set clear boundaries and create routines. Teach and model healthy behaviors. And seek professional help when needed for yourself and your children. If your children see you seeking professional help, they're going to be more likely to seek it for themselves when they become adults.
Yeah. I really like the listening and and asking open-ended questions, you know, because it's probably, especially as you get teenage age, you know, they're not necessarily maybe as open as you would like them to be. And so I like to practice. I just keep asking questions.
Yes.
Just wait. And then they'll maybe eventually open up to you.
Yeah.
But active listening, too, is important. You know, we want to teach. We want to instill as parents. But we also need to be able to take a step back and listen as well.
Yes.
So.
And get off our own devices.
Mm-hmm. Put the phone down.
When you said active listening, that's the first thing I thought of, is that I need to be looking at them in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I need to let them know I hear them.
Yes.
So, because I see that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big
problem.
Yeah.
Yep. Undivided attention is important. So tell us steps that individuals can take day to day to protect and strengthen their mental health. I know we talked about kids. Is there certain things for adults that you think that we can do?
Yeah. So setting a routine for yourself. So a lot of people, you know, they just want to wake up whenever they want to, go to sleep whenever they want to. Our bodies don't function the best like that.
We're creatures of habit.
Yes. So setting routines for ourselves, taking medication, you know, going to your doctor, seeking out therapy, having a community around you. So friends, whether that's online or in person, moving your body. Your physical health and exercise is so important. Just going for a walk every day.
Yeah.
Those are big things.
Absolutely. I agree. Kind of clears the mind as well. So what's your biggest piece of advice for families in the Upper Cumberland who want to support mental wellness in their homes and communities? And can you tell us how to get in touch with you and your phone number one more time as
Sure.
well?
Sure. So just reach out. Mental Health Cooperative is not the only mental health serving agency around here, though it's my favorite, of course.
As it should be.
Yes. It's not the only one, right? And there are so many people in the Upper Cumberland, and we have so many resources around here that the people don't always know about. So reaching out, talking to people and asking, you know, do you know who I can go to? Asking your medical provider. There are just so many people that are waiting and willing to help. And another thing is allow the process to work through. So I tell a lot of people that it didn't take you 6 months to get to where you are today. It's not going to take you 6 months to get out of it. So if you experience a whole lifetime of trauma, that's you know, through your childhood, that's 18 years of trauma. Mm-hmm. You can't go and seek therapy for 1 year and think that that's going to help you get through 18 years of trauma. Right. So, you know, working through the process and actually being engaged
and being patient with it. Yeah.
Yes, being patient. Yes, so many people come in and they're like, I took this pill last night and I don't feel any better.
I know. I do. Emily and I, we teach. And so one thing we always tell our students is give yourself some grace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't be so hard on yourself. Yes. This is hard. Life mm-hmm. is hard.
Yes.
We say that all the time to our students when they're just stressing out and we're like, mm-hmm. it's okay.
Yes. And we understand things happen.
Yeah.
And you can't predict it.
No.
Right,
we need to lower our expectations as far as perfection go for ourselves.
Yes, I agree. Allowing that grace at time. And then that's a good comment about, it took you this long to get here. You've now asked for help. Let's work through the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great community message, Kayla, I think, for people that are listening. Don't you agree, Emily?
I do.
Yeah. So I think we did talk about suicide.
Yes.
Which is another very touchy subject.
Yes.
And I know that there's a lot of benefits out there. There's some organizations. But briefly, I think it'd be good, we have about a minute left, to talk about resources mm-hmm. that people can access. And then I'd like for you to say a couple of those things again for people to watch out for.
Sure.
Those, just a couple of those, you know, giving things away. I think you had a nice mm-hmm. list. If we can go back to that and give in the suicide number.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
All right. So some of the things to watch out for are like persistent sadness or irritability, mm-hmm. withdrawing from friends and activities that you used to enjoy, difficulty concentrating, low energy, and then also just unexplained physical health symptoms.
Yeah.
So the National Suicide Hotline mm-hmm. it's a super simple number. It's 988.
Okay.
And, you can reach out to that number 24/7. And to access Mental Health Cooperative services, you can complete an enrollment or an intake by calling 615-743-1555. If you don't want to call a Nashville number, you're more than welcome to call our local office number, which is 931-646-5600. And our medical receptionist can connect you to that 615
nice.
Intake number.
Okay. That is wonderful news. I really appreciate, Kayla, that you've come and joined us today and shared this expertise with us and the listeners. I've actually learned a lot. We recognize the importance of mental health. We encourage our listeners to take care of their emotional well-being, support loved ones who may be struggling with these tips today, and take advantage of these resources available in our community.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.